Hello, my name is Marjorie Wingrove, and I'm the host of this show, Death Happens, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio, 92.7 CFFF. I've created this show as a way to normalize the conversation around death-related topics. Death is inevitable for every living thing. I believe knowledge and preparation can create some comfort and peace of mind. My guest today is Diane Baker Mason, who is a Toronto writer who has published fiction, opinion, and poetry, and whose work has won awards in Canada, Australia, and the United States. Her stories have appeared everywhere from respected literary journals to supermarket tabloids. A flair for the ridiculous governs her writing, causing her to address even the most dire circumstances with a sidelong and slippery humor. Diane Baker Mason graduated summa cum laude from York University in Toronto with an honors degree in English literature. Her fascination with life's imbalances and injustices has sent her not only into writing, but into law. She graduated from Osgoode Hall Law School in June 2003 and is now a retired lawyer living in Toronto. It's extremely important to note that Diane Mason is a retired lawyer. None of what follows is legal advice. This is just a conversation. For legal advice, seek out a practicing lawyer. Today we're going to talk about wills. The song we're listening to today is called Mr. Valentine's Dead. It's by Kevin Quain. Kevin Quain is a self-taught musician, producer, leader of the garage jazz cabaret ensemble Mad Bastards, and an award-winning playwright who has been operating out of Toronto's historic Cameron House for over two decades, playing in the bar downstairs and writing and creating recordings for himself and scores of other artists in dozens of genres in his studio upstairs. He received the 2004 Dora Maver Moore Award for Outstanding New Musical for his play Tequila Vampire Matinee, and has written music and songs for film, theater, dance, and TV, and has performed in dozens of bands in a wide range of genres, including folk with Michelle Rumba, Celtic punk with the Mahones, as well as his own band Mad Bastards.
Mr. Valentine's dead, and he's drinking Manhattans, singing a coal miner's tune in his daddy's tuxedo and Fred Astaire shoes. He's the best looking corpse in the room. Mr. Valentine's dead, and the angels are waiting down at the end of the bar. Well, they're drinking martinis and laughing at nothing, smoking Havana cigars. Have you ever seen dead men dancing so lightly? Did you ever hear corpses who sing? Mr. Valentine's dead, and the angels will take him, but not till he's finished his drink. Mr. Valentine's dead, but it won't slow him down. He's determined to stay on his feet, and he bangs on the table and orders around, and he pays with the gold in his teeth. Mr. Valentine's dead, and he's singing in Spanish, wearing a rose in his hair. Now the angels are howling and drinking tequila and shooting their guns in the air. Have you ever seen dead men dancing so lightly? Did you ever hear corpses who sing? Mr. Valentine's dead, the angels will take him, but
but not till he's finished his drink. Mr. Valentine's dead, but he still loves a party. He's always the last one to leave. And he hangs down his head, cries like a baby when the band's playing Goodnight Irene. Mr. Valentine's dead, but he never looked better. Tell the priest we won't need him tonight. Tell his mom to stop crying, the band to keep playing, 'cause the angels are too drunk to fly. Have you ever seen dead men dancing so lightly? Have you ever heard corpses who sing? Mr. Valentine's dead and the angels will take him, but not till he's finished his drink.
I could tell you something briefly about Kevin Quain and that song. I would have had it played at Dad's funeral, except Dad never had a funeral. We didn't even have a ceremony. It just never happened.
Wow.
But every time I hear of it, I think of my dad. Yeah, it's kind of an ongoing thing.
No rules for me.
I love that the angels are laughing and drinking tequila and shooting their guns in the air. It's such great poetry.
Welcome. Do you go by Diane Baker Mason?
Yep, Diane Baker Mason is my sort of my writing name, my nom de plume. But when I practiced back in the dark ages, I was Diane Mason. I practiced for 9 years. I was a law clerk before that. I practiced estates and real estate and wills, drafted lots of wills, and also had to deal with the fallout when people died without one because they thought they were never going to die, or they thought, I don't own anything. It doesn't matter. Oh my God. Yeah, it actually does.
I had a conversation with a friend on the subway one day, and she was telling me about things her parents owned. And I said, tell me they have a will. And she said, oh, well, I'm the only child. So she just thought it would just automatically all go to her. And I said,
Oh boy.
You need to get a will.
Nothing automatic.
No, it's not automatic. So why does somebody need a will?
Well, the thing is that when you're dead, you're dead. You can't reach out from the grave and help people organize stuff. You know, just imagine if you disappeared. You know, imagine the mess you leave for people. Now, you know, setting aside distribution of all your goodies, who's gonna look after my pussycat? You know, who gets my car? Even sending the car to the junker is a pain in the patootie without a will. But there's this issue of, you know, your rented apartment, who's going to look after stuff. You have to establish, or you want to establish, that somebody's going to step into your shoes. As your estate trustee in Ontario, we have a very strange thing where we call the executor, which is where somebody dies and leaves a will. The executor is the person who is left in charge, or the administrator, where somebody dies without a will and the person who is left in charge by virtue of the operation of the laws of Ontario. Far more complicated. It's not that bad. I'm just telling you that estate trustee with a will or estate trustee without a will have replaced the two different terms of executor and administrator. Okay, so you want to leave somebody to look after your stuff. And if you think that you have to have stuff, you know, like I need to have a, I don't have a house, I don't have a car, I live in an apartment, you know, somebody will take my cat. That's not what happens. What happens is a shitstorm, this abyss of nobody to look after it, especially if you don't have children or something that they could, through the complex operation of the Estate Administration Act, step into your shoes. You need court approval to do that. So, you know, you can't even get somebody to clean out the freaking apartment. My husband and I have been in that position. His cousin died in Nova Scotia, so a different jurisdiction, but he was the only blood relative, John was. So this 74-year-old man and I had to fly out to Nova Scotia. It was terrifically sad. There was nobody to look after his stuff. Nobody, except this guy from another province. Don't leave people in that position. Wills can be done quite simply, and you don't have to put things in them like, I leave my house to Jimmy or whatever. There's ways to draft them that if you have a small estate that can be quite generic, because it's what you own at the point you die that's addressed in the will. But, you know, the big thing that people forget is you're leaving a mess for people. Oh, my kids will look after everything. I don't need a will. It'll be automatic. No, it's not automatic. And then you've made this extra work while they're grieving, and they don't have any legal authority to do anything. And it's just a shit show. Pardon me. Well,
having a will is one of the most loving things you can do.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Leaving behind. Like it's a necessity. And I updated my will since I've been divorced.
Yeah, you do have to update them, you know, depending on your circumstances, but you know, your lawyer will tell you, they will tell you under what circumstances you want to review your will. Marriage invalidates a will, for instance. If you're going to get married,
yeah.
Divorce does not. It's canceled. So when my husband and I got married, we'd been together dating or whatever for 20, and it took... We had rather complex estate plans. I mean, you could have a will that's like 3 pages long and you're fine. And then there's me and John with blended families, right? A dog. 2.5 pages of my will is about who gets the dog. Anyway, it took me and John, we're both lawyers. I was one. And we each had to hire lawyers on our own because aspects of our wills actually brought in separation law and family law because we were waiving support provisions. It took like 6 months of lawyers and paper and stuff. And by the time we finally signed it, and we had to do it in contemplation of marriage, you know, I mean, it can be that complicated where you have lawyers with blended families and a fairly large estate with, not in our case, obviously, but property outside the country. It can be a mess of complex stuff, or it can be the sort of thing that the interview with the lawyer, depending on your estate, an hour maybe and to 2 hours. I'm talking about simple situations. You know, you need to know who's the person who's going to be your estate trustee, who's the person who's going to do the paper pushing, who's, and you have to make sure they want to do it. You want them to be in the province. You don't want to leave the person in charge to be in Manitoba. Okay. Right. You know, you want them in the province. So that's going to take about an hour, couple of hours on a simple one. We know what we're doing. Again, you know, it's going to vary. With the storm with me and John, it was like months of back and forthing and tinkling with wording. I was able to do lots of wills in a couple of hours. And then there's a lot of documentation. There's a supporting affidavit. You have to set up the two witnesses, affidavit of execution. There's stuff like that. So you're going to expect that it's going to take the lawyer somewhere between 4 hours, maybe less, and 6 hours to do the whole thing, including a report, if they're doing a proper job. And they should be doing a report to you. I have a friend who actually went to one of those law firms that has the $99 will thing, or I think it was $199, and it was terrifyingly bad botch of a will. Obviously no lawyer had ever looked at it, and she had to go have it redone, and it cost her about $500-$600. A lot of people get spooked by the idea that, oh, I'm going to have to go a lawyer. It's going to cost me money. It's not going to cost a huge amount of money, especially if you're organized. If you come in with the necessary basic information. It doesn't have to be dragged out of you, that you know who you want to leave in charge, who your executor is going to be, your estate trustee is going to be, who the alternative is going to be. If you're married, it's usually your spouse. Oh, and a little interjection here. If you're common law married and you think that you're married, you're not. It's not the same for estates. So if you are common law married and you've been together 30 years and you don't have wills, you are throwing your spouse under the bus.
Wow.
The Succession Law Reform Act, the definition of spouse does not include common law couples. Common law means just the common law recognize it. It doesn't mean the statute, you know, and this happened a fair bit. How do you prove that you were a common law married couple? There's a lot of lawsuits over that. Actually, I have a friend who's a lawyer who I just had a long discussion with because he was bouncing some real estate problems on this file off me. It was one of those situations where there was a woman claiming that she was the common law spouse and therefore she was bringing an action in constructive trust. And, you know, just do a will. Don't leave a big stinking mess behind. And yeah, common law couples are, there's a nexus there with family law, which I don't have to get into because we've only got half an hour. But you know how the easy fix for it? Put $600 on your visa and get a will, which most lawyers will take visa. Yes. Biggest gift in the world.
There's a ton of information there. So basically, if you die without a will, it's beep show. It's messy.
It's messy. It is messy even if you don't own anything. It's even messier, actually, sometimes.
Yeah.
You know.
And things don't just, and like we said,
things don't just automatically happen. Somebody has to help.
So other things that are included as I'm going through my will, the other things that are included in that process are the power of attorneys, POAs. And it's not just one power of attorney. There's power of attorney for
personal care and for prop. POAs are substitute decisions under the Substitute Decisions Act. And although you often have them done at the same time as your will, the death document is the will. The will only takes effect when you die.
Yeah.
So it is you are leaving your instructions, not only for how you want things handled, but how you want them distributed when you're dead. Because you're going to be dead and you're not going to be like Mr. Valentine sitting at the end of the bar giving instructions and saying, you know, tell the band to keep playing. If you want to tell the band to keep playing, get a freaking will, Mr. Valentine. If you want to move on to substitute decisions, which are decisions that are made through powers of attorney, two separate documents, one for your property, one for your health care. Those are for while you are alive. And as long as you are still mentally competent, you can change them. They are appointing someone to make decisions for you in the case of powers of attorney for property. They can be limited. So for instance, you want to go to France and you want to leave, you know, your son in charge of selling your house. You can do a limited power of attorney for property that kicks in right away and has nothing to do with your mental capacity. Or you can do a broad continuing power of attorney for property that deals with your property, all of it, and or part of it, depends on the circumstance. It's a tool, you know, it's a property management tool. And they are usually done at the same time as wills. I mean, you're there anyway, you might as well get them done. There's two witnesses and a lawyer, hey, you know, but certainly not necessary to do it at the same time of a will. If you're having an emotional blockage over the idea of doing a will, you're afraid of complication, you're just scared of lawyers, you know, you just, oh my God, I don't have $600, $700, whatever. You do not have to have the powers of attorney done at the same time. So there's one for power of attorney for property. Power of attorney for personal care is a topic that falls into the healthcare decisions basket. Those only do kick in when you are no longer capable. You know, you're driving home from the bar and you get in the car crash and you're knocked unconscious for 6 months. What the hell does your wife do? Okay, she's got a joint account and the house is joint, but you know, oh my God, she doesn't actually own anything else. If she doesn't have a power of attorney for property, continuing power, while you are regaining your consciousness, she's gonna have to go to court and get an order that she can look after stuff. So it's once again, you know, a stitch in time saves nine. Set this stuff up. The only reason I'm hesitating, Marge, to go into powers of attorney because they are a POAs. Powers of attorney are a huge topic. And they also, you're not dead. Right. You know, you're not even necessarily incapable in the case of the powers of attorney for property, depending on, you know, my power of attorney for property is sweeping. I mean, I could tell John to sell the cottage and, you know, he's my attorney for property. I trusted him. Boy, you don't name just anybody as your attorneys. For the word attorney does not mean lawyer in this context. Attorney is an American term for lawyer. Attorneys, when you nominate somebody to be your substitute decision maker in a power of attorney for property or a power of attorney for personal care, you better freaking trust them.
Right.
Because power of attorney for property fraud is an enormous problem, huge problem. Contesting a will, the person's dead, you know, you can bring in, like, if it's worth it. With powers of attorney for property, what'll often happen is some poor little old lady who's 90, who never got it done before and has lost her capacity, and she's no longer capable of managing her property and everything's falling apart. And gosh golly, doesn't somebody come along, a helpful neighbor or something, and here, Mrs. McGillicuddy, sign this. This is a power of attorney for property. And these are my two friends, Jimmy and Janie, and they're going to witness, and I'm going to look after everything for you. You don't want to know how often that happens. Power of attorney fraud is a huge problem. There you go.
Yeah.
That was power. You see why I didn't want to go veering off that when we hadn't even finished with
that. I think people don't really know what those are. So I did want to include them. Okay. What if I got really basic with these questions? Why does a person need a will?
Because you're dead and you don't have any ability to deal with the mess that you leave behind. You need to leave someone in charge, and you need to tell that person in charge how you want everything distributed. And you need to do that in writing in a particular form as set out in the Wills Act. And that's just the form. But you said it's an act of kindness. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you think anything's automatic, it ain't. If you don't think that it's not going to leave a lot of people struggling to clean up when you're gone, I'm not talking about cleaning your oven. I'm talking about all the stuff everybody leaves behind, whether they have property or not. So you need to leave somebody in your shoes, your estate trustee, and you need to give that person written instructions about you, what you want. And that's what the will does.
Yep.
Now, part of your estate plan that your lawyer would go through with you would be to look at, you know, depending on your estate. If your estate is you're a single woman with a cat, one bank account, and a rented apartment with its contents, and maybe an old Volkswagen Golf or something, you know, it's no kids, no husband, no parents. It's not going to be the same level of complex interview and complex estate planning that would be in the case of a blended couple with adult children, grandchildren, money coming in from both sides, you know. But I don't own anything is no reason not to get a will, because you still have to leave somebody there with a set of instructions and a roadmap and the authority. You think the landlord's going to let you in to, you know, let your buddy in? You know, you say to your buddy, oh, please look after my apartment and feed my dog. How are you going to get in? Right. And I've actually experienced that problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why?
And so is the public guardian and trustee, by the way. Somebody didn't leave a will, and they have come in and found dead animals. I'm not kidding. Because the person didn't leave anybody in charge. You're dead. Leave somebody in charge. Go there.
So why would a person put off getting a will?
Oh, you know what? I think mostly it's hard to say. It depends on the person. But among the reasons are they don't like lawyers. Mm-hmm. We talk too much. We cost money. It's a confusing and frightening process. Procrastination. You don't think you're going to die. Yes, you are. And at the least convenient moment, you don't think it's necessary. You think, you know, I don't own anything. I don't need it. And money, like, why should I spend money on that? You know, I don't need it. It's an uncomfortable process sometimes, thinking about what things are going to look like the day after you die. You know, you're on the slab somewhere and your apartment is locked and there's, you know, let's just say your adult daughter is trying to look after stuff and she's got no will. The nice thing is that the will kicks in, despite the fact that it has to be proven, it has to be probated for many assets. You can still, it's a hugely authoritative document for, you know, that you can show to funeral directors, the Ministry of Transport for the car, that sort of thing. A lot can be done even right the day after if you have a will. Yes, it does have to be probated, but there are lots of estates where the will never gets probated, smaller estates, but you can bet your ass you're still going to need one, whether it gets proven, formally proven, probated or not. You still need one. Good question. Why not? Fear.
Yeah, and denial. That
fear and denial.
Denial of the absolute inevitable.
And fear of lawyers, right, and spending money on lawyers.
Spending
They're
money.
Not that bad. Some of us are really funny.
I know. And yeah, spending money is hard. If I can't pay for my groceries this month.
How am I know. Your lawyer? Often there are wills clinics. You can also at various lower income facilities or resources, you know, poverty law clinics can sometimes help with it. God, I remember volunteering at one of those years ago. Another option is to call the Law Society of Upper Canada, now called the Law Society of Ontario Lawyer Referral Service, and you can get a free half an hour talking to a lawyer and get an idea where they can give you, you know, a ballpark of how much it would cost to do a will for you. It's a telephone interview usually.
Some people think they can do a will online.
Okay, another really excellent question. You mean like a will kit that you buy at Staples or you order online? Got to be very careful of those. This is not just a form. You know, you do have to make sure it is done in accordance with the Wills Act. And you can accidentally create a will that isn't valid because it didn't meet the statutory requirements. That it was, you know, there have been lots of lawsuits where, you know, trying to prove a will in solemn form, which means going before a judge and money, guns, and lawyers. What is it? Lawyers, guns, and money? Who did that song? Warren Zevon, I think. The form itself had spaces to fill in. I underline. Well, you know, a will has to be entirely holograph in your own handwriting. This is the law back when, and it's only the law of Ontario under the Wills Act. So it has to be entirely in your own handwriting. So it can't be a fill in the blanks form, or it has to be entirely printed and then signed in the presence of two witnesses at the same time. There's a lot of law behind drafting a will, and the lawyer knows it off the top of their head, and you're trying to reinvent years of experience, etc. And considering the will kit often costs $200, and the chance of screwing it up, or the chance of other stuff that I've seen people do, they get the will from the wrong jurisdiction, right? So it's not the right form. But it's more than just the form. There's the formal aspects of the will, and then there's the actual content. Do you know stuff like that your executor or estate trustee should be in the province? So you named an executor who lives in British Columbia, and you just threw the administration of your estate under a whole bunch more complexities. You know, for a few extra $100, get a pro to do it. They make me nervous because I've seen enough lawsuits over them, you know, where they weren't filled out properly and people contested them.
Right.
You know, yeah. Oh. What can I say? I totally understand how expensive it would be. Most lawyers will take Visa, by the way. So if it's an option to put it on a credit card, think about it. This is a big gift for your next generation.
Yeah, and using credit isn't ideal, obviously, but
no.
Heavens, I think of the alternative and I'm like, yeah.
Consider the expense of what happens when you've died and everything's locked up for months until you can go and get a certificate of appointment of a state trustee without a will. If you don't have family, who's going to do it? Or if you don't have family that you're in touch with, who's going to do it?
Yeah.
Who's going to be your administrator? Who wants to take on that job? It's a big job administering an estate. They can't ever be off the hook for the stuff. If they hire a financial planner, it's still their ass. If they hire a real estate agent, it's still their ass. But yes, absolutely. Leaving where the bodies are buried memo is very important. I mean, John and I, you know, we've been together 20 years and we still are like, honey, where are your bank accounts? We have lists for everything. For my estate trustee. I mean, my estate trustee, my executor, John, if I go first, but after that, I've actually named a corporate executor because I don't want my poor kids to have to go through the hassle. I got a company, and you only do that if you've got a big estate, and you don't do that if you have little kids, minor children are another issue, I mean, definitely if you have minor children, you need a will. And I know I went blathering on about common law relationships, but I reiterate, if you don't have wills and you're in a common law relationship, you are totally throwing your common law spouse under the bus, because although the Succession Law Reform Act applies to legally married couples and has a template for distribution, it does not apply to common law couples. You want to not leave your spouse in the position of having to start an action for a constructive trust for what could have been saved by just do the will. Be kind. You don't want your legacy. You don't want what happens, which is everybody said, God damn it, why didn't he have a will? When somebody dies and they call you, and you're a lawyer and they call you and not the dead person, obviously, but you know, the devastated person phones me up and says, oh my God, my mom died 2 days ago. We've got the funeral all organized, but we don't know what to do next. And I say, well, did she have a will? No. Okay. I mean, you know what to do. You're a lawyer, but the legacy you leave when you don't leave instructions, it taints everything. It makes everything so much worse. And people are already in pain.
Diane Mason is a retired lawyer living in Toronto. Nothing contained in this program is legal advice. Seek out a practicing lawyer for legal advice and get a will. Thank you, Diane, for joining me on Death Happens. My name is Marjorie Wingrove.